God's people are meant to have good things. And good things aren't bad. Wealth isn't bad, and strength isn't bad. Success isn't bad. None of those things are bad. In fact, they're meant for God's people. But beware of the easy and beware of the privilege, because easy is dangerous. Welcome to the Grow Time Business Devo, where we explore God's principles for living a high-performance life. My name is Kenneth Ott, and today we're in Joshua, and I'm going to read two different passages, and what we're going to see here are contrasting stories. So just for context, the children of Israel are conquering Canaan, right? Joshua's led them in, and now they're dividing up the land, right? And so the various tribes Joshua's giving out portions of the land to, right? So they've also already gone in, and now they're getting their land, right? So that's the context here. And so I'm gonna read two passages that contrast two different stories of people or getting their land and how they react and what the result is. I just think it's interesting. There's some interesting takeaways for us here today. So the first passage is Joshua 17, 14 through 17. And it goes like this. The people of Joseph said to Joshua, "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly." "If you're so numerous," Joshua answered, "and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaites." However you say that. The people of Joseph replied, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plain have chariots fitted with iron. But those in Bethshan and its settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel, both those in those two other places." But Joshua said to the tribes of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are numerous and very powerful. You will not have only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have chariots fitted with iron, and though they are strong, you can drive them out." So I'm just going to stop and break down what's happening in this story here as I understand it. Joshua has given this land to two tribes. So Joseph had two sons, and those two tribes are getting this land, right? Ephraim and Manasseh. In total, they're actually getting more than the other tribes get, right? And what's funny about it is the way they talk about themselves. "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly." They're saying, "The Lord has blessed us abundantly. Why haven't you given us more?" It seems like they are talking out of two sides of their mouth here, right? So Joshua goes and says, "Hey, go ahead and like conquer I'll give you this other land. You just have to go clear it, right? It's the hill country." And they say, "No, we can't do that. That's hard." Then Joshua actually speaks truth to them and blesses them. He says, You are numerous and very powerful. You will not have only one allotment for the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and the farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have chariots fitted with iron," all these different things, right? "And though they're strong, you can drive them out." Like, "I believe in you. I know we just did all this stuff. Like, you guys have numerous. You just said you're blessed by the Lord. You can go ahead and drive them out. And by the way, in doing that, you will grow and have more success." All right, so that's these two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, which are from the tribe of Joseph. And that's how they acted. They basically got their land and they begged for more, and they didn't want to do the hard work. And then sort of to contrast that, I'm going to flip back over to Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15. Mm. All right, so this is Caleb. This is when Caleb gets his allotment. "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh to explore the land. So by the way, he's talking to Joshua, who was his friend and companion, and he actually went into the promised land, and they were the two spies, and they went and defeated, and they were the only ones that believed that they could actually be defeated. And so Caleb and Joshua are like sort of their companions. Like they've worked together, they've lived together, they've fought together, they've done these hard things together. So they have a relationship, right? And so he's telling him, I was 40 years old when Moses sent me into Kadesh to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I love how Caleb talks, made the hearts of the people melt in fear. Timid souls. And so I, however, followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord had promised, he has kept me alive for 40 years since the time he said this to Moses. So he's like 80 years old now, right? While Israel moved in about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, sorry, 85. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb ever since because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Then the land had rest from war. So you've got this other story of Caleb, right? And Caleb goes and says, hey, I did all these things. I fought. He doesn't wait for it to be handed to him. He says, Moses promised me, so you better give this thing to me, right? And by the way, there are people in there, the Anakites, who are large giants with fortified cities and that kind of stuff. But with the Lord's help, I'll drive them out. And he's got absolute belief and conviction. And so he goes and does that. He gets blessed and says, and the blessing is that this land will be with him the rest of the days, his days and through his descendants. And the land had rest from war. That was his reward. So you see these two contrasting stories. And here's what I kind of thought, like, okay, this, like the name of the core principle, the name for this little devo today is beware of easy. Beware of privilege. And so I thought this was really valuable to entrepreneurs because we are people that that maybe have some resources that some of us didn't have any resources. Like I didn't have anything to create, but I had more than some, right? And then there are some of us that actually have resources that we then leverage and use. And all of us, as we're going, are developing and building resources. And so we have the ability to create privilege for our family, privilege for ourselves. Privilege is really dangerous, and easy is really dangerous. And the thing about easy with entrepreneurs is, you know, everyone wants an easy button. Like I get businesses reaching out to me all the time. And sometimes they're kind of funny because it's like, you know, I work in the e-commerce space and we build lots of businesses, you know, and so there are businesses that are doing, you know, a few million dollars, and I've got several that are doing hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Businesses that I consult with, that I help, that I coach, businesses that I've built and invested in. What's really fascinating is I see that spectrum, and then sometimes, you know, well, every once in a while, people will reach out to me, and when I end up talking with them, I kind of find out that they're looking for the easy button. They're looking for the easy way through to build a, you know, $1 million, $10 million, $100 million business, whatever. And it's fascinating to me to think that like the truth is there is no easy button. And not only that, the truth is you don't want an easy button. Because the easy button, if it did exist, and when people think they have it, you don't build up the grit and the tools and the resources and all the things you need to actually create success. That's why there's no easy button. There's no easy button because it's like an impossibility. The result that you want has to come through, can only be acquired by having certain tools. And those certain tools and certain mental tools only happen through working through issues, challenges, all kinds of other things, right? Without sounding cliche about like, you know, like challenges are a good thing. Like they are, but not only are they a good thing, right? They are required in order to get to the success that you're looking for. Like that is the only way to get there, right? There, you develop the tools that you need through those. So beware of easy. So look at, you have these two stories, right? You have Manasseh and Ephraim, which are the sons of Joseph. More was given to them. And then you have Caleb, who is actually an outsider, right? But I did all this reading on Caleb, and like, for whatever reason, like he was an outsider. He wasn't part of their group, right? And he was still blessed because of his belief in his faith. You know, one asked for and conquered. The other one was given. Manasseh and Ephraim were given, and then they were begging for more so that they didn't have to conquer or they didn't have to do the hard things, right? One thrives and lives out the rest of his days in peace, that's Caleb, and one becomes eliminated over time. So the truth is, the story about Manasseh and Ephraim, those two tribes, those people, they didn't do the hard thing. God's cut to the chase. They didn't drive out all those people. And they ended up getting assimilated into these other cultures, right? Falling away from God. And then eventually, they're known as one of the lost tribes of Israel because they were just sort of blended in over time because they didn't do what they were told to do, what they said they would do, what they knew they had to do, which was the hard thing of eliminating and conquering the people and clearing the land. So I just want to bring out a few observations that were helpful to me and share them with you. And hopefully they're a little helpful to you. First one is challenges that you rise to bring growth, which then that growth brings success. And so I love the story of Caleb, but he chose to believe. Caleb had massive belief, right? You hear how he talked about the people who were scared about, you know, going into and conquering the land, right? When he spied on it, right? He had massive belief. Did you hear how he talked about even at 85 years old, he's more ready to conquer than ever? He had massive belief and massive energy, but it was a choice. Like belief is a choice. If you want the success, you can look at a challenge and see it as really hard, or you can look at a challenge and see it as an opportunity. That sounds so cliche, but cliches are cliches for a reason. But peel back the layer of that, like really think about that. Like it is a choice. A lot of people don't feel like they have that choice, but it's a choice. And as we're building businesses, as you're leading organizations, as you're pursuing great goals and all these different things, and as challenges arise or delays come into play because they happen to me, like for me, I'm always trying to keep this top of mind because I could end up getting discouraged or disappointed right when a challenge happens. And the truth is like you have the opportunity to build a new muscle. You are given the blessing of having to go through something to build a new tool to then leverage in your tool belt of success. That is the truth about it. That's really fascinating to me. You know, when you do these things, when you dissect Caleb, there's a few concepts that kind of emerge. There's this kind of trending idea right now that I don't know if you've heard of, but it's known as be, do, have. well, this is nothing new, right? And this is taking a new form, but like, it's the idea that you, that everything starts with who you are and who you believe you are. And only then can you do the things that are in line with that type of person, take the actions. And only once you take the actions can you get the results that you're looking for, right? So a lot of people, the easy button would say, I just want the results. But the truth is, and what we see here is Caleb was the person who believed. He did the action of the person who believed, and then he got the results of the person who believes, right? You can't skip the being, the believing, and the doing, the action. If those two things come before the acquisition, the having. And this is something that once I learned this, this is actually the pedigree of winners. I did another talk, which I'll link to, which I think is called something like there are only winners and everyone else is losers or something like that. but it's this idea that winners are the only people who win. Why is that? Because the people who win are the people who are winners. Like you don't, it sounds ridiculous, but like you can't be someone who doesn't win and then you win. It doesn't happen. Winning only comes to winners. And so if you want to win, you have to become a winner, do the things of the winner. And that's what's fascinating. And you see that with Caleb. On the contrary, the people of Ephraim and Manasseh, what's fascinating about them is they came from greatness. Like Joseph was, they were descendants of Joseph. Joseph was an awesome man. Like he was a great businessman. I'll do a Devo on Joseph another time, but like the way he ran Egypt during the famine and like created success and was super shrewd. Like he was a great businessman. He was a great salesperson. He really knew how to build wealth and he was very wise. These people came from that, right? They were given more. They asked for even more. And then they didn't do the hard things, right? Verse 16 says, the people of Joseph replied, the hill country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who live in the plain have chariots fitted with iron, both those in these two other places. It's not enough for us. They didn't do the hard thing. They were not willing to do the hard things. And then they had belief spoken into them by a great leader, their great leader, and they didn't follow through on that. They didn't even follow through on what they said they were going to do. And so they ended up being washed out. It's interesting how Caleb came from no one special, right? He was an outsider. And then he actually was able to get this. And then you have this story of these other people who came from greatness and had privilege, and they weren't willing to do the hard things. And so I want to end here on just contrasting like this idea of privileges versus challenges. Like privilege is very dangerous. It's not bad, but it can be, because privilege means you have an advantage. And if you rest on that and you haven't developed the skills to actually have acquired that and earn it, there's something valuable about earning something. And I'm thinking about this as I'm teaching my kids. Like my goal is to produce a lot of wealth and opportunity. As I'm doing that, I'm realizing, well, how am I going to still make sure that my kids develop the skills that are required to actually continue to produce that, right? And that's an intentional thing. We've all heard the idea, or hopefully maybe you have, that weak people make hard times and hard times make strong people. Strong people make good times and good times make weak people. And then it starts back over again, right? I would suggest that you keep that in mind as you're building your wealth, as you're building your business, as you're doing what you're doing. And make sure that you're not creating good times that create weak people, specifically, you know, in your family, but also in your organization. We all know there's companies that like blasted off. They succeeded. They did a lot of great things. And then they got lax and they got lazy and they got overtaken and disrupted. I mean, the world is filled with those stories in business, right? Good times make weak people, if you're not careful, to make sure that that doesn't happen. So the first takeaway here is beware of easy. So as I started here, like everyone wants easy, but growth only happens in the challenges, in the hill country, right? Caleb found his growth like doing the hard stuff, and they got their, and Ephraim and Manasseh got their demise from not doing the hard stuff. Everyone wants easy, but easy is not what gets you the tools to make success. What's fascinating is the challenges. If you look at challenges as opportunities, and we dig into that a little bit deeper, opportunities to create tools that create success, right? Like to create muscles that create success, that to create experiences that create success. When you crack this code of this challenge, now you have something that you can actually leverage and create success with. Like literal money success doing those kind of things. Like we all want easy, but easy isn't good. Easy buttons don't exist for a reason. There's a story that I read of like when a moth comes out of a cocoon, right? It's really, really hard for it to get out, apparently, right? It like takes a long time and it's a tiny little hole that it starts to make and like squeezing through this super tiny little hole. And it looks really hard and really painful. But it turns out that in doing that, that's the only way that it gets its wings developed, right? And so if it doesn't squeeze through that little hole, the wings don't develop and it can't actually fly. Now, if you actually cut open that hole and make it easier for it to get out, it will die within a few days because it won't have any wings developed. It'll have these tiny little wings in this big swollen body. What's fascinating about it is it's like, it seems in our like lack of wisdom, like that's really hard. We should make it easier. And it actually is hurting the thing, like the life of the moth, like, you know, just doesn't exist. And I don't know how long moths live, probably not very long, but it's fascinating. That's like such an interesting example of the layers of challenges, like the benefits of challenges, right? Second thing I want to take away here is that growth compounds belief. And so it's this idea of like the success cycle. I've talked about this before, all right? But doing, like being the person and then doing and acting, right? Through challenges, like doing the work, like believing that you can, compounds each time you do it, right? So Caleb, you know, had his strong belief, and then he went into Canaan, was the spy, and came back with a good report, and like didn't lose that belief, and had the faith, and all that kind of stuff, and then went and conquered, and he was a great warrior, and all these different things, right? And I'm sure that there were micro situations throughout his entire life like that, and they just kept compounding, and now it goes to this area where he's 85 years old. He's given new land. He has to conquer that land. And he's like, let's go. I have more energy right now than I did, you know, 40 years ago. And he goes and does that. And the result is that he had the peace. The land was in peace for the rest of his days. What's fascinating there is he was 85 years old. Surely there were stronger people like that he was fighting against. So what was his advantage? His advantage was he had this compounded belief, right? And that is critical. Like we have to be aware, and I'm aware of this all the time, that like momentum is a real thing. Like momentum is a principle in physics, and it is hard to overcome the inertia. Getting momentum and building momentum and continuing momentum in the right places is important. Because if you don't, you start to slow down, and things start to fall apart and inertia builds and then you end up stuck again, right? And this happens with belief. This happens with confidence. This happens with businesses. And so build momentum and build compounding in your beliefs because challenges and overcoming challenges daily with repetition builds that compounding belief. All right, number three. Good things aren't bad, but easy is dangerous. So I've talked about this before. It mentions this all in several places in Genesis and throughout stories in the Bible that good things are for God's people. God's people are meant to have good things. And good things aren't bad. Wealth isn't bad and strength isn't bad. Success isn't bad. None of those things are bad. In fact, they're meant for God's people. All right, but beware of the easy and beware of the privilege because easy is dangerous, right? And so easy and good don't go together. That you think they do, but the truth is like, I think back to like the things that I enjoy most are the things that I had to work hard to achieve. And oftentimes, you know, we all know when we're given something easily, we don't value it. I do a lot of events and I coach people and sometimes for a lot of money, often for a lot of money. And so people pay a lot of money to get us to work with them and help their business. And our job is to, you know, we try and get them exponential results, but it costs a lot. And here's the thing. One of the reasons it does is because if it was free, if it was cheap, it wouldn't get the results because they wouldn't get the results. Like the person wouldn't value it. This is, by the way, one of the fascinating sales philosophies, you know, the backwards philosophies of like the very successful is that sometimes, oftentimes, the writing of the check is critical to the success. Like making something easy does not make success more likely. It makes success less likely. And that is the fascinating part. Making something harder requires you to dig deeper and actually create the success. And so I would encourage you, like if you're thinking that you're helping someone by making it easy for them, whether that's kids, whether that's your team, whether that's clients, especially clients, that's not helping them. It's actually hurting them. Like the challenges and the difficulty to make someone commit and not turn back is the critical aspect to their success. Making it easy does not make it good. Making it easy makes success less likely. And so maybe waiting for something isn't so bad. Like, are you pursuing something great? I imagine that you probably are. Has it not come yet? Maybe it hasn't come in the way you would like, right? Here is what I think this is saying to us, or one of the things I want to leave you with, and what I'm going to say to myself in ending is, don't rush it. And that's so hard for someone who, you know, entrepreneurs are not known to be patient people. Patience is important. I did a whole talk on patience, but it's not kicking back your feet, but it's a hard skill. It's a muscle that you have to condition, right? But not rushing it is really hard for entrepreneurs. Like not rushing it, it feels like you're like just against every fiber of your being. But if you cannot rush it and you can simply become the person, be and believe the things that person believes and then do, like take the action, the hard things, the things that nobody else does, like take that action with consistency. When you're able to achieve the thing, you'll appreciate it way more. You will enjoy it way more. And so will, by the way, your descendants, your kids, and all the people around you. You'll be able to teach them how to enjoy it because you've had to go through the hard part, hard stuff to actually acquire it. And then you're less likely to lose it. It's interesting how easy is not necessarily a good thing. And privilege can be dangerous. And so I hope this helps you live out a high performance, more successful life at whatever you're pursuing. If you'd like to learn more about the Business Devo, you can go to bizdevo.com. That's bizdevo.com. And if you'd like to learn more about me, you can visit kenott.com. That's kenott.com. Thanks, and until next time, never stop growing.